Isaiah chapter 61. Beginning at the first verse. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice, I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness I will reward them, and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. And then Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived with them among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works.
You're on holiday, and when you're visiting, sometimes you get the same subject over and over again, and you get bored. But I make no apologies, because this is, again, another sermon about the Huddersfield Narrow Canal, and I'm sorry. You might think, well, perhaps it's the Broad Canal, but we haven't heard much about it. No, it's the Narrow Canal. The Huddersfield Narrow Canal goes for about 20 miles from the beautiful town of Huddersfield, and it goes through the Pennines. And it starts at a basin. Can we have the first photo?
It starts at a canal basin, which is the end of a series of canals and rivers that go through Wakefield and eventually towards Hull. And you've got fairly big boats that would take coal towards the canal basin here, and then you get wool come backwards the other way. And in that basin there, the cargoes were transferred from big boats coming this way towards the sea onto narrow boats going that way. And you can just see a way through that goes onto the narrow canal. Now, the canal started, it was in 1794 and completed in 1811. There were 74 locks for the boats up and down, and it rose from up to 656 feet. Now, the main feature of that canal was called the Stand Edge Tunnel. Can I have the next one? That ran for 3 miles, and it's the highest and longest tunnel in British canals. And they didn't have a towpath. So what the boatman had to do was lie on top and leg it by pushing on there. And it took 3 hours to get through. Now, the canal was a continuous channel of water. And sometimes it went through really beautiful scenery. Sometimes it was a bit grim going between woolen and cotton mills. But it was doing what it was designed to do, to take the goods from one side of the country to another. And then as the railways came, and with road transport, very few people started using it. And it, in the 1960s, it was closed. And then next one, please. And a 6-lane road was built over it. You can see the basin on the left, and then there's the bit of the canal there on the right. But there was a 6-lane road built over it, and it just cut off the canal. It was just filled in. And some of the lengths still were in water, possibly for about a mile or so, and you could get a kayak and backwards and forwards on it, but it wasn't going through. And then 2 mills extended over the route of the canal. Parts of the canal were filled in, and in the holy town of Slaithwaite, which is actually pronounced Slawit, but the holy town there, the whole of the canal was filled in and a big car park built. Other parts were overgrown. There were landslips and there were trees that grew in the canal. Can I have the next one, please? And you can just see at the top there of just soil and rubbish filled in. And then the tunnel was closed. Again, next, please. There was a big gate went across the tunnel, and you couldn't get through. It had become dangerous and bits falling in. Then in the 1970s, there was a group had the vision to reopen the canal. And my boss, when I worked for the local council, he was one of the leading lights of it, and he was boring because he would talk about canals all the time. But every spare moment, he was doing things, pushing, lobbying, and there were some minor works that they could do, like clearing the towpaths to make a bit of a walking route, and taking the trees out where they'd grown into the canal. But the main problem was this barrier caused by the main road. It had been filled in. There was no possibility of getting through. But Keith put in many, many hours of hard work, and he lobbied councils to try and get the route reopened. And he spent several years trying to persuade the local county council to make a tunnel under the main road that they'd just filled in. Oh, it'll cost £250,000. That was a long time ago. Cost £250,000. We can't do it. But he managed to get grants and different bodies. And then in 1985, the barrier was removed. Next one, please. And you could actually walk through underneath this main road. And the canal was connected again. And the first quarter of a mile was through the campus of the university. And that was open until there was one of the mill extensions. But it went through the university. And one of the first things that happened was a young student who attended our church, which was about 2 miles away, decided he wanted to get baptised in the canal. And he was. And it was really amazing. We walked down with banners for about 2 miles through the streets, and then there was this lovely service in the canal with lots of students, because all the students were watching, and it was a lovely witness. But anyway, after that, work began on the other blockages, used quite often by volunteers. Next one, please. And there they are, they're clearing out one of the locks. But sometimes they needed major equipment. And could we have the next four? That's where, in Slough, where the canal was. You can just buy the here. And that's beginning to clear it out. And that's what it was like when it was provided. And sometimes it had to be very narrow because it was between streets that had been constructed over it. But there we are, and it was passable. Well, what about the mills that were extended? Well, they'd actually built the foundations of the extensions on either side of the canal. One of them was opened up very, very easily because the canal could just go under because everything was had been prepared for it. But one other owner, he wasn't happy with that, and he wanted the extension to be amended so that the floors of the mill were just above water level. And then he wanted pillars to support the floors to actually go in the canal itself. And once again, there was a lot of lobbying by some of the volunteers, and the council refused them permission because it said that would stop the canal being opened. Anyway, the mill owner didn't like that, and he appealed against the decision. And one of these wonderful people who was a planning inspector came along and said, no, you can't do it that way. And they had to back down. And they dismissed the appeal, and they eventually completed the canal around that bit of the mill. Next two, please. That's where it was, and then the next one where they'd gone, and so it wasn't extended over it. Now, they still had to sort out the tunnel. And again, my boss and the local council then that was on board did a lot of lobbying and got £5 million from the European Union. And the canal, the tunnel was then restored. Next one, please. That's beginning to restore the canal which had by the tunnel there. And the works were completed in 2001. Next one, please. And there we are. The tunnel you can see just in the background there. And there are boats ready to go through it, and there's a trip boat. And this is now part of a circular leisure route. It joins the Rochdale Canal and then the Leeds and Liverpool through Skipton and part of the Yorkshire Dales. And then eventually back to Huddersfield. So it takes about a fortnight to go through, and it's very, very popular. And the restored canal appears regularly on Last of the Summer Wine. Next one, please. There we are. That's Compo about to go in. But if you like Last of the Summer Wine, quite often you'll see them just walking about the canal. Right, thank you. Right, what has this got to do with us? Especially leading up to Good Friday and Easter. Well, God had planned a route for humanity. He'd planned the sort of things that we should be doing. Sometimes we would lead through pleasant places. Sometimes we would be going through difficulties, because nobody promises that the Christian life is going to be completely hassle-free. And it hasn't been, has it? But always, it was intended that we should be able to move forward. But then, there was this barrier came in. A barrier prevented what God had wanted for his people. And we don't talk about it these days, but it was called sin. And it's a falling shot. Sin is actually an archery term. And it's the distance between the middle of the bullseye and where the arrow actually hits. And it might be, like when I do it, a quite a long way away. Or it might be just a quarter of an inch. But what God says, it's still sin. It shows that there are problems. Some people sin in relatively minor ways, if you look at it from the world's point of view. But some go completely off the rails. We knew a lovely lad who, in his teens, was very much involved in youth work in the church, in evangelism. He went off to university and got involved in things like Spring Harvest. And then he got into drugs. And it made him so mentally ill. And he just completely fell away. But whatever the situation is, whatever the experience is, the intended course was stopped. And we're unable to restore ourselves. And rather like getting through that big barrier, the way to do it is costly. And that's why we had to have a Good Friday. Next one, please. Why we had to have Good Friday. Reading from Isaiah was talking about restoring the places long devastated. A bit like the canal. But because of what Jesus did for us on Good Friday, where it's possible that we go back to the situations that God wanted us in the beginning. And Easter Day, again the next one, shows that the sacrifice was accepted and our destiny was restored. Now it doesn't mean that there are that there will be no minor blockages on the route. We're in the battle after all, and we get targeted. And usually, we get targeted where our weaknesses are. I once had a different boss this time who said, I used to be a town planner and with planning applications, and one of the things we were told is be very, very careful if people offer you anything to go round the requirements. And he said, nobody will dare offer me any money to do it. But if they offer me a good meal, well, I might. So he was aware of his weaknesses. Never actually happened. But he was aware of our weaknesses. And we get them, because that's what we targeted for. But the promise is that whoever comes to Jesus, he will never cast out. And when things go wrong, and our readings have shown this, when things do go wrong, we can be restored, which is what Good Friday and Easter are all about. Well, we are on a journey, and sometimes we have to go through tunnels. There is light at the end. And sometimes, like that one, when you emerge from the tunnel, you may be found in an area where it's howling wilderness and desolation and absolute disaster. When you go through that tunnel, you end up in Lancashire, so that's, you know what I mean. But despite the black times, our route is now restored and established, because if you go through this desolation, it's part of a route which will eventually take us back to where we should be, and the way back is certain. So that's what the Huddersfield Narrow Canal has told me about restoration, and it links in so much with the message of Good Friday and Easter at this time. Amen. Let's